Okay. Let's go to numbers. We are just going to continue for a long time. I actually, to think about it, what's in it for us? What's in that Bible for us? Not what's in it to us. We've already attained there, huh? Hello? You've all arrived. In fact, you can quit coming to the morning services because you already got it down what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Now that you got that figured out. Men's meeting tomorrow night. Another hot issue. Actually, we'll do eight. B-A-P-T-I-S-T. B-A-P-T-I-S-T. We'll do, look for eight though. Seven issues that makes people Baptist. We'll look at them tomorrow night. See how much of a 0 to 10 we are when it comes to being a Baptist. Do that tomorrow night. And let's see. I imagine your pizzas are all filled up, aren't they? Kids from reading? Yeah, we need you're gonna be gone till Thursday. Saturday. Okay. Well, you just do what you want with that thing. Preferably not, but a little bit, you know, whatever. So we'll do a reading thing. We'll put that reading thing for next week. Already count on next week. And if your pizza's full, start another one. Hey, why not, you know? It's always nice to read more than, just read. And bring your we're going to do recorders after church this morning. Did you bring a recorder?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I did.
You did? Is that yours?
Yes.
How do I know that?
You got a
KM there. That'll do it. You got yours, Danica? How do I know that's yours? Grandma gave it to her. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes. Don't sit on your recordings. But Danica, don't feel bad. I've had kids with brand new flutes, $1,000 flutes, and they set them on the chair, like between the arm and the chair, just to kind of go after the phone. They come back and they're not thinking because they're talking, because we don't think when we're on the phone. Right. Okay. Then right on top, bent this, just like that. So it happens. So. Okay. Numbers, the book of Numbers. We're just going to continue on with what's in it for us. I think I already said that. And I'm trying really hard not to just make these into sermons, because each one of these is fascinating to me, more now than ever, because I truly see how God operates differently today. I mean, He's still God, hasn't changed a bit, but He's covered, He's paid for everything, so we can be in the situation we're in today. And I don't say fascination is the word, but I'm just intrigued, I guess, intrigued by how they had to live in the Old Testament days. It's just really something. So anybody that thinks they're trying to do the holy walk type of a thing, I mean, they're not even in the same city as the ball game is in, really. And it puzzles me why people would still try to do those sorts of things, to like the Jews or whatever, or the Christians. The Jewish-designed Christians, why they would even try to do those things, other than we've been taught these things. And if we can do them, we ought to, because not only is it the way God designed it to be, there was a purpose for that righteousness to be right. I mean, if we could do any of those things in this day and age, it's still a right, you know what I mean? It's still a right designed thing to do. So it's very valuable to read through these laws and these things, because this is really where God is at. And then I feel bad after a while, because I'm thinking, oh man, I don't have to do any of these things. They're all paid for, and He paid them for me. He walked through the whole thing. Well, I really am just an unthankful guy. I really don't try to do right the way He now tells us, near as much as I ought to, or think right, or look at right, or be around right, knowing what He really, really stands for. So it's quite interesting. Now, we're just going to go back to Numbers chapter 11. On the sermon thing the other day, and remember I brought this up, and then I easily got distracted. My gooner is like, if I even look off the trail, I've lost the trail. So let's go back to Numbers 11:29. I will try really hard not to make this in the sermon, but I want to point out some particulars, even though we've already said all we need to say about Numbers. There's a lot of things there for us about understanding God and how He operates and His personality and da-da-da-da. Let's look at something I find to be interesting for me, and you can do the same thing for yourself when you read. I hope you're still reading these things. Numbers 11:29. Just a comment here. Moses said unto him, "Enviest thou for my sake?" They've been whining about food and stuff and flesh. Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, does that click, that last phrase there, all of a sudden? Because now he will. There comes a time when he will. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel, and went on. Now, let's go to 14. 14, verse 26, chapter 14, verse 26. Let's look a little bit about how God really does punish. Now, we know he kills. He just kills, and that seems to be the easy out, doesn't it? That's why they don't want to have people like Saddam and Osama and all these guys killed. They want them to stay alive in prison because they think it's harder for them, you know, kind of a thing. Oh, baloney. Turn them over to God as quickly as possible and let him deal with it. Here's just an example. Now, you kids, listen to this one really well. We're looking at verse 26. We're going to start right at 26. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Okay, say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Now here we go. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. And he goes on with this thing. Now, that's so preachable. Here's the parents, they messed up, and the kids are going to get what was given eventually, but in the meantime, they're going to suffer with their parents. And there's sermon in that thing, isn't there? We've got more of that coming up here. Look at chapter 12. Not in any order here, apparently. Numbers chapter 12. This is a mistype, which wouldn't surprise me. Numbers 12, verse 6. And he said, Now hear my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Just, there's one of many verses where he talks about visions and dreams. But then there's also a spot where Moses gets an extra shot of blessing from God as far as being made aware. Now, does that not sound familiar? You've got guys today that are saying, now you average congregants, you know, God will show you some things, but God will show me extra special things as such. And they get pretty far with that thing. Now, go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 30. This is just how God operated back in the Old Testament days. Your kids need to read this. They need to know about God. This is God. Now, chapter 15, verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. This is the Sabbath. I bet you they closed the grocery stores and everything. You know. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. A little tribunal there for this guy picking up sticks. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. The Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. This wasn't Moses' thing. This wasn't the pastor's fault. This is what God said to do, as the Lord commanded Moses. Pretty powerful punishment for not obeying on the Sabbath. I mean, serious stuff. And all I could think of was that game you can buy that's pickup sticks, or what do they call that thing? Any Seventh Adventist you got, you ought to buy their children that for Christmas or something. Why would you give them that? Well, there's a neat story in the Bible. Some guy picked up sticks, and God had him killed because he picked them up when he wasn't supposed to. Matter of fact, it was on the Sabbath. Funny that you would, kind of a thing. And then you never see him again, but 1541. Here's a good verse. There's a bunch of these verses. And why is all this stuff taking place? Why does God do things this way? 1541. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And that pops up all the way through this thing. Why does he do this? He wants them to know that he is God. And you're not. Kind of a thing. Well, let's do some more here. 19. There's just a bunch of things in this, in Numbers here. We didn't finish Numbers last week. We're going to really try to get into Deuteronomy, though, this morning. 19, verse 11. He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days.
More kids have that problem, don't
they? Well, I have a problem. I would have had a problem because I was up there with Claude. Claude, we're going to, cold as a tomato kind of a thing, a hard tomato. But I just do that because that's, it reminds me that someday, unless I'm ground up in a truck squashing thing or something, the body will be laying there. Look at that. Wow. He really is dead. Wow. Some will be going, yes, finally. And you shave him in the hole. I won't tell you those stories. There's another interesting point in here, though. He shall purify himself with it on the third day, and on the seventh day he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day he shall not be clean. Whosoever toucheth the dead body of any man that is dead, seems like he had three words he didn't need to put in there, but he did, and there's a reason for it. Well, I guess you could preach that you have a dead body while you're still alive. I mean, I guess there's still a sermon in there. But and purifieth not himself, defileth the tabernacle of the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Man, he just didn't go around touching dead people. Because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him, he shall be unclean. His uncleanness is yet upon him. And this is the law. When a man dieth in a tent, got to have laws for everything. All that come into the tent, and all that is in the tent shall be unclean. That's just to go in the tent. Find a dead guy in the house, I guess you don't go in there because you're still going to come out of there pretty dirty. But it gets better in 15, and every open vessel which has no covering bound upon it is unclean. And now there is an open bottle law. I mean, you see, if he died, all these bottles, what do you leave the caps off for? You know, those things are dirty. We couldn't handle those kind of things. Oh, well, and whosoever toucheth one that is slain with the sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. So you guys, no more playing in the cemetery at night when your parents are gone. Okay, no more digging up bodies. Open bottle. Okay, chapter 20, verse 7. Here's the big one. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 7. Did I say that already? Verse 8, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. All sorts of little important words in there. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation before the rock, and he said unto them, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock. He's having a bad day. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And I'm sure until verse 12, Moses thought he did a good thing. because he got results. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And we know where we go with that thing about music or anything. Or anything. Just because you have... Go ahead, what?
Go there for belief, too.
Yeah. Just because you have results doesn't mean it's right. And that can go anywhere you want to go with things. And that takes us to Timothy, talks about gain is godliness to people today because there are results. And we've done things here in our church that we now see that we shouldn't have done. This wasn't just a bad thing, but it wasn't the design for it to be, and there were results, and you got encouraged by some things, but you look back at it, and it's like, you know, what if we just didn't get encouraged because of the flesh or whatever? We don't want to, just because the water came abundantly, just like God said it would. Moses was still wrong.
And that, supposed to do.
Right. Right. That was his thing. And not only did he hit it once, he hit it twice. I mean, let's just rub it in, kind of a thing. And you get into Numbers 22, and you got a marvelous story with Balaam's ass, and I hope you kids are hearing about that story. Marvelous things in that thing with a critter talking like that. It's just, I know, quite often you think, why couldn't he have used another animal so it wouldn't have been so hard to teach? But you can tell that to kids. It's not a big deal. Look at chapter 25. Modern Christian kids, they don't know much about God, it seems like. They hear about Jesus and the Gospels, and they have all their Sunday schools geared for Gospels and stuff, and they really don't know what God was like, other than maybe through the commandments and the trek across the desert, trying to get the Pharaoh to, you know, listen, things like that. But quite the great stories in the Old Testament. Chapter 25, verse 9. Now, there we go. 24,000 people. You know what 24,000 people would do today if it was 24,000 people? We'd have a clean desert. But we can't go there either. 27, verse 17. Just, there's so many things in here that are exciting to read and fascinating to read and intriguing to read and mysterious to read. Discussionable for family things, but not to us. But aren't you glad this stuff isn't to us? Oh, man. Oh, looking at 27:18, the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. There's that hands-on thing. And set before him Eleazar the priest, and before all their congregation. Isn't that interesting? I mean, he lays his hand on him. Moses kind of passes on the stuff to Joshua. Look at verse 22. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Interesting things. Okay, let's look here at verse 30 of, it must be chapter 28, I'll bet. That was great. Nope. Oh, I wonder what chapter I was in here. I don't know. Let's skip it. 32. Go to 32. Oh, okay. Chapter 32. Verse 23. But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. There it is. In Numbers. In Numbers, I guess I gave the wrong reference. Scott, the other night. You ever wonder about people that get away with stuff until they die? Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. That's an Old Testament statement there, by the way. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. I mean, some people, it does show them. But, and some men, they follow after. They get all the way to the judgment seat. You still get nailed for it. I mean, it still shows up. But not always down here. So just don't be flipping that verse out. Now, you kids, now we put that on kids all the time. You know, you still find you out, Sam. But your parents might be dead, and you might be 95 years old before it finally comes out into the open. I mean, you don't know. And then in many cases, you make it to your judgment seat, and you still won't get away with it. I'm not picking on you. I'm just being nice. So, you know, anybody says, like a parent says, we'll find out. Sometimes they have to tell us after they're married, about four kids and stuff. Then they finally tell us. Right, ma'am? Yeah. Beck? Is Kamama still there? Haven't heard all the stuff yet. We kind of really don't want to. Do you? I mean, it's just, well, some of those things you just don't want to know. And really, kids, don't wait until they're on the deathbed. You know, Dad, I was wanting to tell you what I did. Remember when I took the Geo up into Tri-Cities, but, you know, kind of stuff. No, don't, Dave, not now, not now. Okay, 34. Let's go to 34. Numbers 34. 55. And any parent who thinks they know everything their kids are doing, which I used to think that, silly, silly me. Kids are very good at sneaking stuff by. How can you say such a thing? Because we taught them. 34, chapter 34. That doesn't look right. That doesn't look right at all. 33, there we go, right above there. Thank you. 33:55. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. And boy, there's a bunch of that stuff in there. You know, there's a lot of truth to that, even for us. It's not written to us, and you got to deal with how Paul talks about it. But you know, sometimes you got some enemy within your home. You don't want them there. But because we try to play the Christian thing, love your enemies and stuff, we let them come into our homes, and we really shouldn't, because it can vex our kids. It can mess us up. We go places we ought not go because the enemy's there. Well, you got to go to work. You got to go down to the co-op. You got to go to the truck garage. You got to go to the conventions, you know, and all the places you got to go. You can't not go there. But you just have to know what's taking place today. It's getting you. It's working on you. It's working on your kids. You can tell them, don't look at that. Yesterday, Beck called and said she saw a van with a picture on the van that was just blatant. I mean, you might as well, you can go down to the store and buy it in magazines. I mean, there is everything. And she just, I cannot keep my kids from this stuff. So I said, call the cops anyway, because when you think about it, that is child pornography. I mean, it is, because you're showing it to little children. And they said, I can't do anything about it. Can't do anything about it, which doesn't surprise us. But what do you do? What do you do? But it does work on your kids. It does work on your kids. Oh, let's see here. One more, 35. One more, verse 35, chapter 35, verse 30, I hope. Yep, here we go. I've got this right. We're in the middle of books when we leave for the end of the day here. Chapter 35, verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Got to have two witnesses. That's good. Moreover, he shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And he shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. That's why Utah still lets, I think they still do, lets a murderer or whatever this guy has to die, to be shot so he can shed his blood on the land. It's an Old Testament thing. So, okay, Deuteronomy. We'll just go a little bit with Deuteronomy here this morning. Tons of things, just tons of stuff.
Pastor, how many cities have you lived?
I have no idea. I don't know. Chapter 1. If you want your kids to get a good review of what you've read so far, roll in Deuteronomy. But chapter 1 to 4 is already a great review. And you can read through that thing yourself, and if you run across something like, boy, I don't remember that. Because has that ever happened to you? You're like, what was that? Well, that was just yesterday. What did I do? Oh, I know. I was eating grapes during this thing. I wasn't paying attention. Kind of a thing. Great history. Great review. Look at 1 verse 39. Talking about those younger kids below 20 type of deal. Moreover, your little ones. Little ones. Try that on a teenager. Oh, you are our little ones. Have all the little ones come up early. Sam and Austin, get going. Come on. Moreover, your little ones, what she said should be a prey, and your children. See, maybe it isn't quite so bad. And your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil. Verse 39. Moreover, your little ones, what she said should be a prey, and your children. Either way, you want to be real picky, then yes, the little ones are meaning the little ones, like Zach. The children must be the rest. So either way, that's just, isn't that terrible? Just when you think you're getting someplace in life, somebody reminds you you're a kid. Boy, enjoy it. Amen? I mean, really. Okay. But there's a point. They had no knowledge between good and evil. They may be obeying you. But they don't know good and evil. That's why I really fear that little kid salvation thing. I mean, show them the right way, teach them the right way, but they don't know good and evil very much. They know right and wrong, but there's a difference between good and evil. See right there? See, they should know not to do that. See, without their own thinking, that would be evil. It's not good. There you go, Dan. See, I helped you. I should get a modern chicken thing out of that piece. Okay. Yeah, right. Look at then the parents. But as for you, ever heard that? Ever heard that, you guys? Mom and Dad are just chewing Austin up and down, and then they look to you and go, now it's for you. Oh, you mean there's more coming? I just like the phrase, but as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So it's just you hear phrases that we talk about. You hear people speak to King James Bible. That's for you. Okay, let's go here to chapter 3. And again, another possible sermon here, chapter 3, verse 22. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Okay? What did God give you today? He gave you a sword. What did he want you to do with that sword? Use it. And people have a tendency to sit around and just get used and abused, and which is, there's difference, there's a line in there. But you expect God to do some things for you, and he says, well, here's how you do it. Get in your book and do something about it. You know, this is when God fought for him. Today he fought for us by giving us the sword. Now here, do something with it. Kind of a deal. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 26. This is a long way of saying something shorter. See if you can figure out what it is. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. What's that? A real short phrase. Don't tell me again. I heard you. I heard you the first time. Ever heard that before? I already heard you. But don't, Sam, don't ever say that back. This is not right. I heard you the first time, Dad. Oh, no. You can let him know you heard him the first time by doing what he asked you to do the first time. Kind of a thing. And we parents somehow seem to think that if we say something louder, You know, it's going to register the second time. We have learned by now that even louder and again, somehow this doesn't always register, you know. Because have you been doing this again this morning? See, it registered. It registered. So we shouldn't have to do it again. And anyway, that's sermon stuff. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Now, we reckon, to me, what I get out of Deuteronomy more than anything else is the fact that he's always talking about words. The children of Israel were to obey God's words, not just to infamous God's word, but words. Very specific about that. Verse 2. A lot of verses on that. Verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. So there they can't even add things to it or take it away. Diminish, I like that, diminish. Look at verse chapter 12. We're skipping so much stuff. Just, it's good that God gave you a Bible to read as well. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Along the same lines, but now it's just a little bit different. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. That's being told to do something. Don't have to do more than you were told, and don't do less than you were told. Just do the way I said to do it. Wouldn't that be a... Quit looking at these poor guys. They're getting picked on something horrible. Wouldn't that be nice? Don't do more than I ask you to do, because what happens sometimes when you do more than you're asked to do? You can still botch it. And that isn't what I ask you to do. And Mark knows that. When he tells me how to fix computer stuff, he will tell me, click here, then he'll pause a minute, and I would have already clicked to the next point. And he said, no, did you click to the next point? I didn't ask you to go to the next spot, not because you went to the wrong click. But I thought for sure I knew what was coming. And it wasn't it at all. Did that ever happen to you? How about you, Sam? Does it happen to the kids? Ask Austin, because he's a little younger than you. So he should, okay, Sam. Right? Does he ever do more than you ask him? Did you ever ask him to do anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll do the butt part. Just yeah, but I don't know about that. Save Austin. We all still think Austin's okay. We don't want to have anything. Try to diminish from it or add to it. 4:10. Let's go back to 4:10. Now we will. We got time for this one little shot right here. Let's get 4:10. These are verses that have to do with his words. 4:10. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, or Orb if you're the H herb stuff, Orb or Horeb. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Teach them what? His words. Go to 11, verse 18. So the whole concept about God's words is nothing new for us today. He's always had words, specific words, don't add or diminish from, way back at the beginning. 11 verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they be as frontless between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, boy, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children. See, now here's why we have scriptures in our homes and things. This is where we get some of that in Joshua 2. But look at verse 21. That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land. That's not always true. There's people that have scriptures in their house, words of God in their house, on their walls. They do all these things, and things don't happen to them. And then they get mad at God, and the kids grow up hating God. Old Testament. There's wisdom to teach, and we still need to teach our children his words. Very important thing. But that is not a promise to have the successful prosperity of a life. Just remember that. You will have prosperity. You will have spiritual prosperity. Because when something happens, you can handle it. You can deal with life. That kind of a thing. So, anyway, that's another sermon. 12, go to 12, verse 28. But that is what you're teaching your children. His words today still. Chapter 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee. Now, if we obey his words, it will go well with us. Whose words are we obeying? I know, God's, but let's get very specific. Whose words do we go toward? We go to Paul's words from Jesus, told Paul, from God, etc., etc. So we know that. Haven't y'all had troubles? Part of it's because we're reaping what we sow. We know that. Part of it's because we didn't understand some of these things quite right. And part of it is the fact that we're still in a sinful body and things still happen that are bad. I passed having a major heart attack. Is that because of him doing things wrong? God's getting him for it? No, but his body is still flesh. And so those things still happen all the time too. But you can see where people go with these things as a promise. You pull out, you get these Bible promise books and you read that stuff and it says, and it may be well with thee. And then somebody has a major disaster in their life and they've been trying. And they get mad at God and they quit. Because they try to hold these things to them today. And it's, you can't do that. 13, chapter 13, verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, which is a false one down there. A guy in verse, well, here, about to do one. I've got to tie all those together there. This is 12. This is 13. 1 to 3, okay. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, thereof, of whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. God allowed those kind of guys to come along and test them. And I don't believe today, I don't think he can show me in the scriptures at all with Paul's New Testament stuff that God is testing you. He doesn't put a disaster in front of you to test you. I just don't see that. I don't think much of parents that test their children see if they can handle it. It's a serious test. I mean, we kind of want to find things out, but we don't throw garbage in front of our kids to see if they'll eat it. Do we? I don't think that's wise, because what if the kid does eat it? And how... Well, we'll find out if he does or doesn't. I don't want him to eat it, so why should I test him with it? I just see that a lot, and I wonder about that. Well, it's right here. Well, yeah, it's right here. It's the Old Testament. These parents that say, well, I'm not going to tell my kids what's right or wrong. They can figure it out for themselves. I think that's horrible. I mean, the terrible thing. You are to teach your children the words of God, what is right and what's wrong. And you don't let some guy come along, well, I'll let him go to there and hope they can handle it. What if they can't? Then what? See? We'll protect you. And then you get to a certain age, you got to go out there. I mean, you got to get out in there and do your stuff, but maybe some people are just not ready. I'd hate to test it anymore. It's like putting a great big huge mouse trap, I suppose, in your... Nah, we haven't got time for illustrations. We're on 13. Let's go to 17. Nothing against tests, but I like tests. They will record a test one of these days. See if you can do this thing. Okay, 17 verse 19. Here's another. We're talking about the words in Deuteronomy. 17 verse 19, yep. And it shall be with him, and shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. So he talks about words. Look at verse 8, chapter 18. I will raise them up a prophet, capital P, for a reason. Isn't that interesting? Those are interesting things. Hope you have a capital P in your Bible there. 18. I will raise them up a prophet among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And Jesus says that in John. The words I speak are my Father's. That's an interesting thing. Look at chapter 28. If thou wilt observe, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then God will plague you. You know, if you're going to take anything out of the Old Testament, take it all. So don't forget that verse there. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues, isn't that, there we go, plagues wonderful. It's a good reason to know the definitions of wonderful and terrible too, kind of a thing. That's why I hate the word awesome. I just don't like that. God is awesome. Awesome. He's awful. He's full of awe. Isn't that some awe? He's full of awe. Just Steve Green started that song years ago, I think. My God is an awesome God. Ugh, please. Or Amy Grunt, or whoever those people are. Verse 59, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance. I've been sick for so long. And call Aunt Mabel. She knows why you're sick. And sore sickness. Sicknesses is bad enough, but sore sicknesses. Lots of them, and of long continuance. He'll even give you the diseases of the world, which thou were afraid of, and thou shalt cleave unto thee. And every sickness, it just goes on, and it all boils down to verse 58, that they need to observe all the words of this law. So somebody puts on you, that's why you've been so sick for so long. Donna, you've been sick quite a bit lately. You've been down for quite a bit. If I were you, I'd start reading that Bible again, because God's going to have to kill you here pretty soon. You know? Chapter 29, verse 9. Quickly, we've got two more to go here. Chapter 29, verse 9. Keep therefore the words of this covenant. Words, words, words. And do them that you may prosper in all that ye do. We will prosper following Paul, but it's not physically promised stuff. It's spiritually promised stuff. And sometimes you're going to do some things that Paul says to do in the Scriptures. God's words told you to do it, and you're going to have a problem. But that's just doing right in a world that's going wicked and perverse. Oh, I got some more junk for you. I tell you, it's just weird out there. One more quickly here. Chapter 31. That's a whole bunch of them. We'll start there next week, right there.